We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Rip Tansey, we've seen for many years efforts to impose more stringent gun restrictions at the General Assembly have gone nowhere. This year, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello put his support behind your measure to try to take guns away from domestic abusers. That bill is still up in the air due to the impasse that happened at the end, and you're hopeful that it will pass in the session in September. But what's your explanation for why Speaker Mattiello put his support behind that this year?
After 3 years of explaining the impact that allowing domestic abusers to possess guns, understanding that impact on the lives of everyday Rhode Islanders, I think it weighed upon him after all of the efforts we put forth. This is a domestic violence bill, without a doubt.
Did the speaker's support have anything to do with his state rep race in Cranston and how the gun lobby came down in the battle between him and Stephen Frias in 2016?
I don't believe so. In all honesty, I don't recall that even being an issue in his race. I think it was because of the grassroots effort that was put forth at the General Assembly. We had a broad coalition with the domestic violence individuals. We had survivors showing up and sharing their stories. We had gun violence advocates coming forward. And then we had moms coming out and advocating. So I don't see this as a political issue at all. I think that this was a solid policy issue based on data.
One more question before we go to Scott to close out the gun discussion. Opponents on the other side say it's unfair for law-abiding gun owners to be punished for the actions of criminals who break the law and that most gun owners are responsible and law-abiding. How do you respond to that argument?
I think that that's exactly what we've been saying. It is the law-abiding individuals who aren't impacted by common sense gun laws that we put forward.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, do you think the Democratic Party is taking women's reproductive freedom for granted in Rhode Island?
I can say that it's the number one issue that I hear about in my district right now. There's a base that is energized that I have never seen the likes of. And I think that failure to address the needs of the individuals that are out asking for acknowledgement of the crisis that's ahead, whether it be repealing Obamacare to any number of issues, failure to address those needs, I think would be the political problem.
What's the view from your district in South County on the Pawsox Stadium proposal? And is that something that you support or oppose?
I have not spent a lot of time reviewing this latest proposal. It came out just as we were in the midst of the budget, and I am not even certain if we'll be reviewing it. But that being said, the thing I do know a little bit about is that the owners are a pretty wealthy bunch, and that they could go to a bank and get the funding necessary to do the entire project. I'm not advocating that be the only solution to this. But, if we can find a deal that benefits the taxpayer and holds accountable, first and foremost, the people who stand to profit from this at the end, I think we can probably find a way through to make this happen.
So right now you're undecided?
Well, until there is something concrete on the table, I think we're not quite there yet.
You've been very involved, I know, in Medicaid and medical issues. I'm wondering, how do we get away from these spiraling costs of medical care and get away from fee-for-service and into a system where we're paid more or professionals are paid more for wellness?
It can't go unnoticed that Rhode Island has been recognized year after year for how we have implemented the ACA or Obamacare. We have been a leader in doing this. I represent a district that is predominated by South County Hospital, now called South County Health. And they have been innovating long before this ACA was put into law. So we have to continue to take some risks and be willing to make the changes. But we have to also pay attention to the rates, which I think, back our OHIC, the Office of Health Insurance Commissioner, has done a wonderful job in holding the insurance companies accountable. You look, something just came across my desk today. Blue Cross Blue Shield, again, record profits coming out, and they're still before, you know, looking for rate increases. We heard this story earlier, you know, whether it be National Grid or Blue Cross Blue Shield, we have to find a way to put people before profits. And you know, that's what I'll be looking forward to doing.
We're talking here with State Representative Teresa Tansey, and Rep, one of your progressive colleagues in the Rhode Island House, Aaron Regenberg, is expected to run for lieutenant governor next year. Do you believe he can do more good for the progressive cause by staying in the House or by running for lieutenant governor?
I think that Aaron has amazing energy, and there's so much excitement around the talk of him running for lieutenant governor. You know, when Frank Ferry had this very same discussion 2 years ago as to whether or not he should leave the House, again, a very effective and energetic legislator, I have to say they have to pursue what office they think is best for them. If we have someone on any platform who is, you know, putting forward great ideas energetically, I would be supportive of it.
If Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee took a long vacation, would anybody notice?
Oh, well.
Tell me one big thing he's done recently.
You know, it is a difficult position to use it as a platform, and that's why I think Aaron would be particularly good at it, because he has a deep bench of ideas and policies that he wants to put forward. So he could very easily take that position into relevancy.
Former House Speaker Gordon Fox returned from a federal prison to a halfway house in Pawtucket this week. What is your expectation on what he will do once he completes his sentence? And what has the talk been like among representatives about former Speaker Fox coming back to Rhode Island?
Honestly, I have no expectations, and it hasn't been a topic of conversation. I am very grateful that we have enacted, you know, campaign finance. We've learned from the errors of our past, and with laws that were changed in the last 3 years to address these issues, I feel better about it. But I honestly, I haven't, it's not of importance to me now.
If you could make changes so that we wouldn't have this kind of end of session impasse that developed between the House and the Senate and held the budget up for more than a month, what would it be?
It would be passing the budget earlier, moving the May and November estimating conferences a month and a half each earlier, and being able to get the budget out of the way earlier. There's no reason that we have to wait until June to do it. Historically, that was not the case. It's been done quite easily in May in many decades past. I think that would be the start. And then we would have weeks to concentrate on effective public policy. That would be my dream.
You seem to waste an awful lot of time up there in January and February.
Well, moving these conferences sooner would easily allow us to dig into the meat of the budget that much sooner.
Speaking of the budget, Rhode Island now has a $9.2 billion budget. If you go back about 10 years, the budget was billions of dollars less. So has state spending in the state gotten out of control?
Would have a hard time disagreeing with that, to be honest with you. I happily sit not only on House Finance, but also on the House Oversight Committee. And stay tuned, because the next thing we're looking at are state contracts and our use of consultants.
So you are suggesting that lawmakers might advocate for significantly trimming back those expenses?
I do. I think if the talent exists in the state, then maybe we should consider hiring them as opposed to contracting with them.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And representing South Kingstown and Narragansett, State Representative Teresa Tansey, a Democrat.
Thank you very much.